are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Today, we will be doing something a little bit different in our final show of the week in light of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast from last week that examined the worst teams of the decade, NBA-wide. I wanted to have that conversation within the Wolves franchise, kind of. We'll reference some of their thoughts. We'll play a couple clips from Hollinger and Duncan. There were obviously two teams mentioned in their podcast. Of course, when you're debating 10 of the worst teams from the 2009-10 season through the 18-19 season, of course, there's going to be more than one Timberwolves team mentioned. We are going to talk through the two that were talked about, and then we'll talk about the one Timberwolves team that did make their bracket. And then we'll have a little one-versus-one conversation here, which of those teams I think was worse and whether or not I think they did the right thing in how their eight-team tournament played out. But first, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Please do, if you listen to this podcast, please hit subscribe. I know iTunes is the place where a lot of our subscribers are. Please hit subscribe there. Follow us on any of the other platforms. And as always, a quick review on Apple definitely helps as well if you're able to do that. All right, so the premise of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast from last week, basically they took the eight worst teams. They each picked four teams. They alternated picks. They essentially drafted the worst teams of the last decade. The rules were basically only that you could just pick one team from each franchise. If you haven't listened to this podcast, it's a lot of fun in kind of a morbid way. But go back and listen to it. It was from just about a week ago. You could only pick one team from each franchise, which is part of the reason why only one Timberwolves team was picked. Only one Charlotte team was picked, so on and so forth. So there's, they talk about Charlotte, lots of Knicks talk, Nets, Bucks, Suns, Cavs, Timberwolves. Two Timberwolves teams were mentioned. They spend a lot of time talking about the 2009-2010 Timberwolves team, which is the first year of what they're defining as the last decade of basketball. They spend a lot of time talking about that team. I'm going to play that clip here in just a minute. And then also they mentioned the 2014-15 Wolves team, which was the Flip Saunders coach team leading into the Karl-Anthony Towns draft pick and the season. So the only season that Saunders coached after taking over control of the team the season before Sam Mitchell was the interim coach. That team just missed the cut from the eight worst teams of the decade. I believe it would have made it had it not been for the 09-10 Timberwolves team, which was definitely worse. So I guess, spoiler alert, that's where we'll land later. But we'll at least look at the two versus each other. One way to look at this is the Wolves pretty clearly had two of the 10 worst teams of the decade. The fact that they had two teams in this conversation, there's a couple other franchises that have multiple teams that were discussed. But there it is. If you didn't know that previously, this kind of lays it out. The teams that are in the bracket, the way they set this up was there were eight teams. They essentially just seeded them on opposite sides of in an eight team bracket. They gave the higher seed, so the whoever they determined to be the best worst team, so the worst team of the two would have home court advantage, and then would advance. So the matchups in the first round were the 2010-11 Cleveland Cavs versus the 2011-12 Charlotte Bobcats. The Timberwolves, the 09-10 Timberwolves, took on the 13-14 Bucks in the first round of the tournament. The 2009-10 Nets took on the 2014-15 New York Knicks. The 15-16 Sixers, which is one of the last bad teams of the process, took on the 17-18 Phoenix Suns. So just a team from, only two seasons ago. That was the team that fired their coach like six games into the year. And that 2010 Nets team was, I remember in that 09-10 season, just kind of, it was weird, but like as bad as the Wolves were, the Nets were always worse in terms of their record. I think they won 12 games that year, but that was the season when they started off like 0-20 or something crazy. They had three different coaches throughout the course of the season. So a pair of teams from the 2009-10 season, and then the rest of them are kind of sprinkled throughout the decade. So I'm going to play the clip here in just a second from the discussion about the 2009-10 Wolves and then the 13-14 Bucks. Hollinger and Duncan spoke about these two teams as they were drafting them, and they actually happened to speak about them back to back. So before they discussed the actual matchup between the two. So I'm going to play that whole clip here in a minute so you can hear them talk roughly for about 3 minutes about each team, why they were selected into the draft. And then here in a little bit, I'll play the clip where they discuss the matchup between the two and which team would, quote unquote, win that matchup in a head-to-head battle. So we're going to do that here in a second, and then we'll talk about where the Wolves land. Also play a really quick clip on the 14-15 team and basically why they chose to not put that team in the tournament here in just a minute. So before we get to that, I did want to mention, that's coming up, the very next thing we'll do here. I did want to mention our friends at MyBookie. Sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker not your thing but still need a fix? They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right, they have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Don't even sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid. All right, now we're going to play that clip from Hollinger and Duncan. Again, setting this up, this is the discussion about the 2009-10 Timberwolves, kind of in a vacuum, and why they were drafted, why they were selected for this this tournament. And then the 2013-14 Bucks, which is the team that the Wolves will take on in the tournament here in just a couple minutes.
I am very glad, though, actually, that you saved this team for me, because I think they are demonstrably worse than that Nets team.
Okay.
The 2010 15-67 Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, you see that was the next one on my list. I was going back and forth between those two teams.
I think that those Wolves are going to have a massive coaching disadvantage
against Kiki Van Wey. And they still will.
Kurt Rambis and David Kahn are your coach and GM.
That's the trump card right there.
Yeah. Running the triangle. There's actually kind of a common theme with a lot of these teams is that other than those Nets, the teams would like win their first game or a couple of games and then like give some small amount of hope.
And then just completely faceplant. Yeah.
Yeah. So they won their first game against the Nets, by the way. Mm-hmm. That same Nets team we were just talking about. Although actually, yeah, that head-to-head, good thing these guys aren't matching up in the bracket here, because that head-to-head could hurt me. But then they lost 15 straight after that. Kevin Love only plays 56 games on a 15-67 team in which you had drafted this guy number 5 2 years before. He's not starting more than half the games. The end of the season, he's not starting somehow, despite the fact that they were 5 points per 100 possessions better when he was on the floor. Just amazing coaching. But of course,
22 starts on the season.
But you know, I mean, they had to develop Ryan Gomes and Ryan Hollins, instead. Yeah. Yeah. That's who they were starting over him. They had Al Jefferson coming back from a torn ACL. That did not exactly help the old defense. Running the triangle with Johnny Flynn and Ramon Sessions as mm-hmm. your point guards.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a fun fact about this team that's really scary. So a lot of these teams have horrible seasons because guys get hurt or whatever. Look at the games played on this team. This team was healthy. Like, they had all the guys they wanted out there the whole year, right?
Yeah.
Corey Brewer played 82 games. Johnny Flynn played 81. Jefferson, 76. Gomes, 76. Sessions, 82. Damian Wilkins, 80. Wayne Ellington, 76. Like, all their quote-unquote key guys were available the whole time. Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, it wasn't too good. I mean, they did have guys coming back from injuries, but it was not a good roster. But I think the coaching and the system, I think, did a great job of making sure that this team reached the absolute least of its potential.
They did a great job of minimizing their roster.
Okay, your pick.
All right, now it's getting a little more challenging. All right. I'm going back and forth between a couple possibilities here, but I think I got to go with this one.
This is some very David Kahn-like GMing. You don't even have your draft board ready yet? Like, you're still struggling? You haven't prepared at all for this?
I need to put myself in the mindset of these teams to really to really do this correctly. I need to think like they think.
Yeah, yeah. Fly from the seat of your pants, man.
All right. I got one or two wild cards I was looking at, but I think I'm good here. I think I'm going to go with these guys. The 2013-14 Milwaukee Bucks are my next pick.
Interesting. Yeah, because they had Giannis on the team.
They had that. So that's a crazy thing. They went 15-67 with Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Ersan Ilyasova, who are three key players on a team who may very well, if this had gone 82 games this year, reverse that and go 67-15.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I do sort of give extra points for hopelessness as well. Like, when you're being really bad, and then you also, like, don't have any future cornerstones on the team as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously there is this one bright spot, especially as the season went on, as, you know, Giannis became more apparent that he was going to be something. Middleton wasn't Middleton yet. He was just a guy.
Yeah.
You had Brandon Knight still doing Brandon Knight things. And they had just traded a first for him, I think, right?
I can't remember whether, well, the trade was Jennings for Knight and Middleton, which is actually one of the underrated good trades.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yep. OJ Mayo, big free agent signing.
Yeah. I mean, well, hilariously, this team with a lot of the same guys would actually make the playoffs the next year. They got a big coaching upgrade in Jason Kidd.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. So who is the coach of this
team? It was Larry Drew. And then he got
Larry Drew. Made an appearance on another potential team on this as not the full head coach, but the voice of head coach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ramon Sessions. How many of these teams has he been on?
I think by the time it's done, he's gonna have been on three of the five.
He's gonna be matching up against himself in this tournament, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's he might go off a little bit then if that's the case. anything else you could share about this team?
So this team was last in defense, and I think that, you know, you look at some of the names and you're like, okay, that's okay. There's just no interior defense at all on this team. If you look at some of the, like, you know, I guess you're asking like John Henson to be your.
Yeah, well, Larry Sanders, they had just given him the big contract, and then he
went completely through loops. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I mean, that team, I gotta say, was not in my top eight.
Okay. All right.
It was like kind of an aberration that they're that low. I felt like there was just, I had better fodder elsewhere, and so.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so just to add a little bit of commentary to what Hollinger and Duncan were saying, that 2009-2010 Timberwolves team, we talked about this team actually a little bit the other day when we talked about Kevin Love and his ranking in Timberwolves history as an individual player, just how bad the coaching was early in his career and his lack of playing time early as a Timberwolves player, as an NBA player. To give an example of that. So they reference in the podcast that he wasn't starting at the end of the season. If you look at the box score from the last game that season, again, they were 15-67. This is 2009-2010. So April 14th, 2010, the Wolves lost at home to the Pistons 103-98. This is a Pistons team that finished 27-55. So not a whole lot better. That Timberwolves team Kevin Love came off the bench in that game, played only 18 minutes. This is as a rookie, remember, a productive rookie, averaging nearly a double-double when he actually got the chance to play. He scored 9 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and only 18 minutes, shot 4 of 10 from the field. In the starting lineup that night was Ryan Gomes, played 31, almost 32 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, shot 0 of 3 from the floor. 2 points, 4 rebounds in almost 32 minutes, 0 of 3 from the floor. Corey Brewer had 27 in that game, had a good performance. Darko Milicic with 15 and 6. Al Jefferson, 16 and 11. Ramon Sessions in that game, we'll talk more about him later, 14 points, 5 assists. Off the bench in that game was Damian Wilkins, Sasha Pavlovich, Wayne Ellington, Ryan Hollins. And remember, this was after Ellington had been drafted. This was his rookie year, but before Ricky Rubio came over, a couple of years before he came over. And this was, of course, the doing of Kurt Rambis that allowed Kevin Love to come off the bench and not play. Sometimes in this season, he played 60 games, started 22 games. And that was one of the, I guess, kind of the easiest, if you just want to point to one thing, and sorry, I mistakenly said this was his rookie year. This is actually his second season. So it makes no sense that he's coming off the bench and only played 18 minutes a game. He started the season on the sideline, I believe had an injury at the start of the year. And then for the rest of the season, was primarily a bench player, but saw heavier minutes at times. At the start of the year when he started playing, he was a starter. You know, you look at his numbers from like basically from December, and he was take a look at when he was a starter in the month of December. He averaged 15 and 13 in 32 minutes a game. He wasn't shooting more than he was shooting, what, a 1.5 threes a game at 33%. Then the latter part of the season, he was coming off the bench, still being effective. He had a few 20 and 10 games mixed in there. But for whatever reason, down the stretch of the season, he's not starting. He plays 18 minutes in a 5-point loss in the finale. And the Wolves finished that season on a 7-game losing streak. So easy to see why they are in this tournament and why they will match up against this Bucks team. Next up, I'm going to play the clip where they actually consider the two teams versus each other and the matchup and who would win between the two. And by win, they mean lose. So in a 7-game series, who would lose more games and therefore advance in the bad team tournament from the last decade. So we're going to take a quick break, and then I will play that clip from Hollinger and Duncan.
All right, Wolves Bucks.
Yeah, I'm who's the higher seed here? This is the 4-5.
Yeah, so so your Wolves have home court.
Ooh, yeah. That's I think the Bucks actually have a better home court than the Wolves. Like, they still had like that cheering section.
Correct. Yeah.
Of that was like, you know, half of a section, but like the people who stood up all the whole game. Wolves didn't really have that. Yeah, so what's like your main offensive combination here on this Bucks team?
Well, we're gonna have Brandon Knight dribble around until he shoots, and we have Ramon Sessions.
Oh man!
And we got OJ Mayo too.
Well, I mean, certainly, I think for the Wolves. There's no way we would ever want to say target Ramon Sessions, with a pick and roll, because those aren't really part of the triangle. and we certainly wouldn't want to have Ramon Sessions run a pick and roll either, mm-hmm. because, you know, that's what he's good at, but, and certainly Kurt Rambis is not going to learn over the course of the series as he watches Ramon Sessions on the other team pick and roll us to death.
That's my problem here. Ramon Sessions is going to kill Ramon Sessions pick and roll. Although my Ramon Sessions, now I only had him for 28 games. So so there's going to be a lot more of Brandon Knight and Nate Walters than there is of Ramon Sessions.
Yeah. But I mean, I think simply the fact that this team can run a pick and roll against Al Jefferson and Ryan Hollins and Ramon Sessions and Johnny Flynn as the point guards, and then just, I mean, cause like all of these teams, their defenses are so bad. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything even against just like a normal pick and roll, but like, we're not going to actually exploit that with our personnel on this Wolves team, right? I mean, we could do a Ramon Sessions, Kevin Love pick and pop would probably actually be pretty good, right? But, we don't actually run that play, and Kevin Love, is not going to play very much for us, despite being, even a semi-decent player.
Okay. Here's one place you might have an advantage. Maybe not. So you have Kevin Love and Al Jefferson, and my team was 29th in defensive rebound rate.
Ooh.
What's crazy, though, is that I just looked this up. Somehow this Minnesota team was only 15th in offensive rebound rate.
Yeah, well, they were first when Kevin Love was on the floor and 30th when he was off. So that's
you might be right. Good God. He had 227 offensive boards and wow.
Yeah.
He had like a quarter of their total.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's really no reason to play him, honestly. You got to develop Ryan Gomes. Play him at the three a little bit too.
Yeah. You could do that. I mean, you know, you got to make sure Sasha Pavlovich gets some run too.
Signed as a free agent that year, actually. We've got Darko on the team as well.
Yeah, but he didn't hit the minutes cutoff, right?
You might be right about that. Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah, only 614 minutes. Good. We're just gonna have to play Ryan Hollins instead.
All right.
What about on the wings here? I think that's one of the things that is a common theme for all these teams is just that their wings are so awful. Ryan Gomes and Damian Wilkins and Corey Brewer, Corey Brewer shot 35% from three this year on 237 attempts. That's pretty insane.
Yeah.
That's easily the best shooting season of his career, I would guess. Mm-hmm. But he was 65% from the line, if that makes you feel better.
Makes you feel better. Sure.
Yeah. Who do you have on the wing?
I got a 300-pound OJ Mayo. I got Chris Middleton at the age of 22, still shooting 41% on three, but on low volume. I got a 19-year-old Giannis, who wasn't really in control of his faculties yet. I have on his way out the door, Caron Butler.
Yeah, I think your wings are significantly better than mine.
Yeah, which is scary, but I think you might be right.
I think the Bucks are just going to take care of them pretty easily. I'm thinking like 4-2 Bucks.
I think you're probably the thing that I can't just get past too is that in this tournament Rambis is like Belichick, right? Like you're not going to bet against him unless there's a clear talent disparity.
Yeah, I think the talent. I think the Bucks have a little more talent, even if it's young talent, it is actual talent. And then the coaching and the system, Larry Drew at least is just, he's not exactly like running unbelievable stuff, but he'll at least just like run your standard NBA sets or whatever.
Yeah.
The Bucks are, this is just sort of like, I think mentally the Bucks would have the advantage because they could convince themselves that they weren't actually this bad and like still play hard because they were, the seasons around this, they actually weren't so terrible.
Yeah.
But this Wolves team, everyone knew they'd be terrible. They'd been terrible for a while. They were going to stay terrible for a while. It was there wasn't any hope at all. So 4-2, we agree on that?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so the Timberwolves advance, if you will, against the Milwaukee Bucks into the semifinals of the Tournament of the Worst Teams of the Decade. They'll take on the Charlotte Bobcats of 2011-2012. This team, I'm not going to play the clip where they dive into the roster, but let's just say that there's a lot of Byron Mullins, a lot of young Kemba Walker, Bismack Biyombo as a 19-year-old, DJ Augustine, DJ White, Boris Diaw, who is not exactly motivated. Corey Maggette did make the threshold of minutes cutoff that they set at, I think, 750 to be included in the conversation. Pretty interesting team. This is the lockout season. This team won 7 games in the 66-game lockout shortened season. They went 7-59. So the Bobcats will take on the Timberwolves. I'm going to play the clip of the discussion between the two teams in that matchup, and then we'll sum everything up after that.
All right, so we go to the semis now.
Yes.
I got Charlotte against Minnesota.
Oh my God. How are you feeling about this matchup?
I'm sorry. I don't care what the hell you're doing with your system or whatever. You have Kevin Love and Al Jefferson, and this team has Fat Boris Dia and DJ White and 19-year-old Bismack Biyombo and Byron Mullins.
How's your post defense? I think Bismack would fall out against Al Jefferson in about 2 seconds. So that would probably help you guys.
Bismack, actually, believe it or not, that season, Only a foul every 10 minutes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I guess he probably just wasn't close enough to anyone.
Right.
That was probably the bigger. Yeah, I do think, like K-Love in the post and Dia, he's a good post defender, but he's not going to be trying. He's probably, ultimately, he's going to just fake an injury and be out of the series after a couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the potential swing point of this series would be if Boris Dia actually tried, but we're assuming that he wasn't going to try. So
no,
that he could...
he's going to be posting social media photos of himself on a boat drinking wine, like, while the series is still going on.
Okay.
I think that's pretty clear. What is, Minnesota's pick and roll defense is definitely going to be pretty rough, but I mean, Kemba Walker can't really take advantage of Sessions, though. So this is another Sessions.
No, it's DJ team, right? Augustine.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Sessions was on Charlotte for a long time, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think did he even have two tours of duty with them? I think he did.
I'm trying to think. He was he the guy I feel like maybe I did a trade involving him, but it was like a three-team trade, so we never had him, but
That's possible. He also was on like the 2011-12 Lakers, actually. That's where he was in the 11-12 season.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually like helped stabilize their team in 2011-12. I think that's tough. Like, there's just, and the great wing defense of Gerald Henderson is going to be wasted on Minnesota. We don't have any wings for him to try and lock down. I do think just going into the post over and over again to Al Jefferson is probably going to work with Mullins and, Bismack probably not going to have the experience needed to defend him in the post. It's so funny thinking about this again when you're like, oh yeah, since when is like posting up and post defense matters? Yeah. Like, no, actually that's like,
mattered a lot at the beginning of the decade. Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe Minnesota's getting off this easily though. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that the Bobcats, I think this one would be 4-2.
That's what I think too. I think yeah. Rambis will, keep the Wolves in it.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Silas is going to coach the pants off of Kurt Rambis. I can tell you that. Like, Paul Silas, like, actually coached winning teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, 4-2, Charlotte Bobcats are in the finals.
All right, so the Timberwolves lose, which actually means that they win in the semifinals, which means that the Charlotte Bobcats go to the finals of the Worst Team of the Decade tournament. And then, spoiler alert, then the Knicks and Sixers squads that were in this tournament face off on the other side of the bracket. They send the Sixers to the finals. They lose to Charlotte. There's also a brief conversation after that breakdown of the finals matchup that the Bobcats-Timberwolves matchup in the semis was actually probably supposed to be the finals matchup as the two worst teams of the past decade. Although, I will say that the gap there between the Bobcats, I mean, they gave the Wolves the victory in 4-2 over the Bobcats in that semis. So I think that the Bobcats are clearly the worst team of the past decade, and then the Timberwolves are kind of a semi-distant number two. Before that Sixers team being a semi-distant number three. That's how bad that Wolves team was. So go ahead and listen to that podcast. It's a lot of fun. They talk through. There's a lot of Ramon Sessions sightings. I think he's on like 3 of the 8 teams. There's a couple of different teams that like Jeff Adrian was on. He was on that Timberwolves team. And then he was on the 14-15 team that almost made the cut, was also on the Bobcats team. I'm not going to play the part where they talk 14-15 Wolves. I think what I'll do is I'll save that. We'll talk about that team and kind of the pre-Carl Anthony Towns era Timberwolves at some point next week. So I'll keep that clip in my back pocket. We'll talk about that at some point here. But go ahead and listen to Hollinger and Duncan from last week. They have another great episode up this week. It's a weekly podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to give that a listen. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. We'll be back next week. We're going to start talking through the best teams of the past couple of decades for the Timberwolves. Maybe we dip into the best teams in Timberwolves history, because as it turns out, the last decade wasn't all that great. So we'll talk the positives of Timberwolves history here next week as we kind of tackle that network-wide across the Locked On NBA network. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Wolves. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.